Father, thank you so much for the songs that were chosen this morning, for the messages. In Christ alone our hope is found. And because my hope is in Christ, it is well with my soul. And because it's well with my soul, then my soul can sing when I think about you and your Son and all that you've done for us. Father, what a joy. Thank you for the opportunity to worship with these dear brothers and sisters in Christ. And I just pray, Father, that as we continue now and look into your word, your Holy Spirit will be our teacher and speak to us. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, I need to introduce what we're going to do here first. I'm going to start by giving our church people a report on RSVCE. RSVCE is Rocky Southwest Bible Church Extension. Okay? Rocky Southwest Bible Church Extension was a product of the merger of Rocky Mountain Bible Church Mission and Southwest Bible Church Mission. This merger occurred about 8 years ago, and it was a difficult merger. Sometimes marriages are like that. Rocky Southwest Bible Church Extension is an IFCA agency. IFCA International is a group of churches and individuals that our church is a member of. Rocky Southwest Bible Church Extension is a member agency of that. And its purpose is to start new churches and to aid struggling churches in the areas of Colorado, Arizona, New Mexico, and West Texas. That's a huge area. When it was just Rocky Mountain Bible Church Mission, which is where I came on the board, we were just serving Colorado. And as a result of the merger, Southwest Bible Church Mission had gone several years without a director, and it didn't look like they were going to be able to get one. And they were facing possibly closing. And so they merged with us because we had a director and we had stability. And so we merged and are now serving this wide area of Arizona, New Mexico, West Texas, and Colorado. And we are helping start new churches, and we're also helping struggling churches. And I'll talk about that in a little bit. There are four churches that have graduated from the mission. What that means is the mission came in and was invited by the church, by the church leadership. The church leadership, often what happens is a church in a small town where there's not a lot of job opportunity, not a lot of people, can't support a pastor. They will come to the mission and say, can you help us get a pastor? And so we will locate an individual who will then raise support, go around to different churches and other believers and ask them to support them to go and minister in this maybe rural mountain town little church. And that provides pastoral ministry and pastoral leadership for a church in a small community that might not otherwise be able to afford to have a church. And so it's a very important ministry. And there are four churches that have graduated from the mission. Faith Bible Church of Cortez, and still not sure why that's so far off there, but Faith Bible Church of Cortez, Rocky Mountain Bible Church of Frisco, and it is a large, if you go down Frisco, if you get off at the east exit off of I-70, you go into town and you turn right on Main Street, and it's right there on Main Street. They've got prime property. They built a beautiful new church building, really doing well. They had some people from Rocky Mountain Bible Church of Frisco who retired, and they moved to Parachute, Battlement Mesa, retirement community on Western Slope. And they said, man, there's no church here. We want a church like Rocky Mountain Bible Church like we had. So they contacted the leadership of Rocky Mountain Bible Church, and they contacted Rocky Mountain Bible Church Mission and said, okay, let's start a church in Parachute. So Grace Bible Church of Parachute was formed with some people who had left Rocky Mountain Bible Church of Frisco and with the help of the mission agency, and they were able to get property, build a building absolutely free and clear, beautiful, very functional building, and graduate from the mission. Grace Bible Church of Parachute had some people driving from Colburn. How many of you know where Colburn is? Linda. Okay. Oh, a couple. Okay. It's an hour's drive from Colburn to Parachute. They had people driving from Colburn. They said, we want a church like this in Colburn. But Colburn's a little tiny town. We need help. So Grace Bible Church of Parachute, in league with Rocky Mountain Bible Church Mission, started Grace Bible Church of Colburn. And it has grown. They bought a building. They are fully independent now, supporting their own pastor. These are the success stories. We have six churches that we are working with currently. Green River Bible Church in Green River, Utah. And it is probably always going to need mission help. Green River, Utah is a hugely Mormon-dominated town. And if anyone decides to leave the Mormon Church and become a Christian and start going to Green River Bible Church, they are exiled. They are blackballed. They are just excluded from anything going on in town. Kirk and Paula Dunham are there. They are retired missionaries from Nepal. They left ministry in Nepal and came back. That's their hometown. Kirk has family there. He was raised there. They raise melons, some of the best melons you've ever eaten, to help support them. Green River Bible Church. Kingman Bible Church in Kingman, Arizona, Jerry and Bobby Adams. They're an older couple. They really need a younger couple to come and help them. But they're a mission church that the mission is helping with. Grace Bible Fellowship of Silt. Okay, remember Grace Bible Church of Parachute that helped start Grace Bible Church of Colburn? Those two churches, in turn, together said, you know, we want a church a little bit further east on I-70 corridor. And so they did some demographic study and they identified Silt and they found a couple. And Grace Bible Church of Parachute and Grace Bible Church of Colburn, in league with the mission, are starting Grace Bible Fellowship of Silt. And we just heard a report from their pastor that they need to start looking for a larger place to meet because they're outgrowing the building that they're renting. South Route Bible Church in Oak Creek. Oak Creek is about 18 miles south of Steamboat Springs. Very expensive to live there. It's largely two things. It's a coal mining town, and if the coal mine ever shuts down, probably going to wipe Oak Creek off the face of the map. The coal mine has declared bankruptcy. They have defaulted on paying some of their taxes, and it's really hurting the schools in Oak Creek. It's hurting some of the people for jobs. They've had a number of people leave the town just looking for better employment opportunities. The church is struggling. It's a small church. Right now, there's no way they could afford a pastor, but the mission is helping them. Severance Community Church. Severance is up east of Fort Collins, just about 8-10 miles east of I-75 at the Harmony Road exit to Fort Collins. And that is, they're meeting in the town, old town hall, and they're just about packing it out. They need to start looking for a larger place to meet, too. And in our newest work is in Prescott, Arizona, James and Megan Spann. I've just moved there a little over a year ago. They had some family in the area. That's kind of why they wanted to move back there. But other than that, they have no sponsorship. They don't have a sponsoring church like Grace Bible Church of Parachute did, Grace Bible Church of Colburn did, Grace Bible Fellowship of Silt. There's no sponsoring church. They're starting cold turkey. They're passing out flyers and saying, hey, we're going to start a Bible study. Would you like to come? They've got half a dozen people who have said, you start that Bible study, we'll be there. They're going to be starting that not this next week. There's a county fair they're going to be doing or something honoring firefighters, and they're going to be passing out some things with their information on it at that. And in the following week, they're planning on actually starting this Bible study towards the goal of building a core group that will then provide the foundation for a church. Dr. Paul Williamson is the director of RSBCE. He will be here speaking in my absence in 2 weeks. Next week, Tom Stevens, who is also on the board of the mission. I didn't necessarily plan it that way, but those are the guys I know. They will be here. I'm the president of the board. Have been for 15 years, probably, president of the board. I've been on the board for over 25 years. And you as a church, allow me the time to be able to be involved with Rocky Southwest Bible Church Extension, because you as a church recognize the importance of what the mission is doing. And so part of the reason for this report is because you allow me to be involved in this. It's not directly benefiting our church. It's a ministry out from our church, but I'm accountable to you. And I want you to know what I've been doing. The board meets twice yearly to conduct the business of the mission, but 4 years ago, Paul Williamson came up with an idea, and that is to have a retreat to get all the board members and our wives. A lot of times board members will just fly in and their wives won't come. And get all of the church planters, all of the pastors and their wives that can possibly come and reserve a camp, a Bible camp on the Western Slope, Twin Peaks Bible Camp, just above Colgren. And let's get everybody together for 3 days. And we did that, and it was a great time of fellowship. Connecting, ministering, building relationships. You know, I've been on the board and have interviewed all of the church planters that are working, the six people. Well, Jerry came in from the Southwest Bible Church. But the other five, I've been on the board and interviewed. It's one thing to interview a couple in an office. It is something radically different to see them playing with their kids. It's something radically different to see them eating with their kids at a table. It's something different to be sitting behind them in a teaching session and see how they handle their family. So as from my opinion, this has been an invaluable experience. We did this again this past Wednesday, which is the reason for this report. I was out of town Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, and that was why. We were at this Bible camp, Twin Peaks Bible camp. We were having meetings. The board had our summer board meeting. I missed it for the first time I've ever missed a board meeting, I think, since I've been on the board. If you want to find out why and you weren't in the Bible class, ask me later. But it was a great time. This was the room. Twin Peaks Bible Camp this last winter had an immense amount of snow. They're just right up by Grand Mesa, and they had a huge amount of snow and then the wind. And they had a really nice chapel building that had some dorms built on the back. The weight of the snow on the roof and the wind, the roof collapsed. The building was a total loss. So we were meeting in the dining hall using one half of the room for eating at and then the other half of the room for our sessions. And this is Paul Williamson and his wife Helen setting up, getting the projector ready, using PowerPoint, just like we're doing now, to get ready for our sessions. This is Kirk and Paula Dunham, the couple that I mentioned. They were missionaries in Nepal for 12 or 14 years, and they've been back from Nepal for now about 12 years. They are serving at Green River Bible Church. They have, in the last year, lost six key families. That has just hugely hurt them. They had a vacation Bible school a couple of weeks ago. They had a team come from another church, another IFCA church. That's part of how IFCA churches work together. But they had a team of young people come from another church that did their vacation Bible school program. They provided meals, not just on a Friday night program, but every night they provided meals for all the kids. Because a lot of the kids are Hispanics, of migrant workers, and don't have a lot of food for meals. The last night, they invited the parents to come, and Kirk, oh, he of little faith, Kirk said they were praying that if they had two sets of parents come, that would be a blessing. They had 20. 20 sets of parents came that gave them the opportunity to get to know them, meet them, build relationships, feed them, and just begin a ministry to them. Pray for Kirk and Paula. It is an incredibly hard and discouraging work that they're doing, Green River Bible Church. Bill and Carol Coleman, they were members of South Route Bible Church under the former pastor, and Phil was discipled under the former pastor. And when the former pastor resigned to take a position teaching with Frontier School of the Bible in LaGrange, Wyoming, the church said, what are we going to do? How are we going to find a pastor? And Paul Williamson provided some counsel for them, and they decided, you know, they had a man already in their congregation that they knew and who knew them, who was trained and equipped. He hadn't been to Bible college. He doesn't have any degree, but he has been discipled within that church. And so the church called Phil and Carol Coleman, Phil to be their pastor. And Phil's been serving there faithfully. They love the people. They love the community. They love the Lord. They're having to work full-time jobs, both. Carol just quit her job. They were both working full-time jobs because the church was paying their other bills, but they didn't have any money left over to pay a pastor. Pray for Phil and Carol. Stephen and Amanda Chapman, they are the ones at Grace Bible Fellowship of Silt, the one that's being started by Grace Bible Church of Parachute, and Grace Bible Church of Colburn, and the mission. Stephen and Amanda met at Appalachian Bible College. They were there for 2 years, and then they transferred, and Stephen graduated from Calvary University in Kansas City, and that's where he came in contact with, actually he had come in contact with the mission when Paul Williamson was representing the mission at Appalachian Bible College back east, and has had that on the back of his mind. And they are hard workers. They love the community. They have moved. They bought a house in Silt. They are putting down roots there so that they are communicating to the people. This is not just a stepping stone to someplace else. We're here for the long haul. And that's what that church needs. They told us that they were starting to pray about looking for a bigger place to meet because they're foreseeing outgrowing the place where they're meeting soon. When they would come for meals, as you can see, Amanda has a little baby, I don't know, he's 3 months, something old, 4 or 5 months old. If you have to go through a line and fill your plate and everything, holding a baby, it's really hard. So I sacrificed and offered to Amanda, I'll hold the baby for you while you go through the line. And I think I did that, we were there for 6 meals. I think I did that 5 of the 6 meals. So he and I got to be, he goes to anybody. James and Megan Spann, these were the new couple. I had interviewed them, and that's the last I had seen them in person. But we ended up sitting behind them in most of the teaching sessions, and it was just such a blessing to see them with their kids. You know, the kids are, somewhere between 8 and 13-ish. The kids would start to get antsy, and either James or Megan would just say something to them, and that was it. At one point, we ate a couple of meals with them, and they shared from their hearts in a way that would never have happened in a formal interview setting. And, 2 different times they were talking about the difficulty. They moved down there, they left a very strong, supportive church family. That was their family in Colorado Springs. They left that. They moved down to Prescott, Arizona, where they knew nobody. They have some family away, but not really in Prescott. And Megan said, last October, I just crashed. And she started crying. And then she was talking about, you know, the struggles that they've had because they want to be in a church. They want their kids in a church. And just the difficulty that they've had finding that kind of a loving church environment. She started to cry again. But another time we were talking, and I was talking with her, and one of the kids came up and started to interrupt. And she just, without looking away, just held up a finger, and the child stopped and just stood there and waited. And we finished what we were talking, and then she turned and she gave her full attention to that child and dealt with what the child wanted. And I thought, man, that's so refreshing. You know, some kids would have thrown a tantrum or, you know, kept trying to interrupt, but the child knew, Mom will get to me in time. And so the child just waited, and then Megan gave that child the full attention and dealt with it, and that's the sort of thing that we were able to experience and witness in this retreat setting we could never have witnessed in an interview. So thank you for letting me go. Thank you for encouraging me to be involved with Rocky Southwest Bible Church Extension. This is a picture of most of us. Paul Williamson didn't make this picture, and Stephen Chapman didn't make the picture either. But you see, there's a good blend of, you know, old folk like me and, you know, little kids. So we had a great time together. Thank you for allowing me to do that. Any questions? Quickly, because I've got a whole sermon here to go too. We've got reception. We've got cake downstairs, so nobody needs to be in any hurry, right? You did pack a lunch, didn't you? Okay, why so much emphasis on church planting? Why so much emphasis on the church? I mean, has a church ever saved anybody? No, the church never saved anybody. So why all this emphasis on the church? Why is church so important? Well, the word church is used two different ways in the New Testament. It's the Greek word ekklesia, and it's used two different ways in the New Testament. Did you find Ephesians 1, by the way, or did you forget I told you to go there? Okay. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22, and he put all things in subjection. He, God the Father, put all things in subjection under his, Christ's feet, and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. So there is a sense in which sometimes the word church is referring to what we call the universal body of Christ. It is believers in Jesus Christ all over the world and even in heaven too already, but believers all over the world, regardless of any physical geographical proximity. The term church is used that way, but only actually about half a dozen times in the whole New Testament does it mean that. Over 100 times when the word church occurs in the New Testament, it means something like this. A local church. But it never means the building. This is not the church building. The church is meeting in this building because the church is all y'all. If you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you are part of the church, and you are, that's the universal church, but right now, you are part of the local Edgewater part of the body of Christ known as Fellowship Bible Church. Local, geographical, located bodies of believers. That's the way this word is used over 100 times. It is the most common usage, and that's what we're talking about when we talk about Rocky Southwest Bible Church Extension. We want to see local churches like this one planted and helped all over Colorado, Arizona, New Mexico, West Texas. The local churches, the connection between the local church and the universal church is that local churches are to be a local representation, a local manifestation of the quality of the universal church. The universal church is a spiritual organism, and the local church should also have that spiritual unity of believers communing with one another. So why are churches so important? Well, I thought you'd never ask. Well, maybe you didn't, but I'm going to give you some answers anyway. It is in local churches that the body of Christ actually meets and manifests itself in a community. I talk to people all the time, and I'll talk to them about, what's your relationship to God? Oh, I'm a Christian. Oh, great. What church do you go to? Oh, I don't go to church. And I'm immediately puzzled. Why would a person who has trusted Jesus as their Savior, who has been born again, who has been placed by the Holy Spirit into the universal body of Christ, into that church, why would they not be a part of a local assembly of believers? And I don't get it. Well, I know some of the answers to why. Laziness. Oh, Sunday morning is my only morning to sleep in, and I work so hard, and I've got the laundry to do, and I go to the mountains and worship God. Okay? My response to that is, you've got 6.5 other days a week to go to the mountains and worship God. Sunday morning, you worship Him here. Or you worship Him in some other local church. But I'm of the opinion, and it's not just because I happen to be a pastor, I'm of the opinion that local church involvement is crucial. crucial. I want you to go with me to Hebrews chapter 10, because I want you to realize that's not just my opinion. It seems to be the opinion of the authors of Scripture as well. Hebrews chapter 10, start with me in verse 23, but we're really headed toward 24 and 25. Hebrews 10, 23, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Man, what a precious truth. Because he is faithful, we should hold fast the confession of our hope. Verse 24, and let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. A lot of times people will jump on that first half of verse 25, not forsaking your own assembling together, and they'll use that as a club to beat people up with. That's not my point. My point is that forsaking the assembling of a local church, forsaking the local assembly, Scripture says that's sin. It's sin. But notice the two things that the author of Hebrews says you ought to be doing instead of forsaking. Verse 24. Consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. During our worship service, maybe you notice, I asked how many of you have something prepared to share this morning? And Larry was the only one who did, unless you consider Linda and Don's musical offering. When it says, let us consider, that word means to think ahead of time. I plan for the worship service, but so should you. You think, well, why should I bother planning? I don't have to do anything. Oh, but you do. Because worship is an involvement for you. It's participation for you. Worship is something that you are involved with, not something you come to witness. That's one of the issues I have with the large mega churches that have the bands and the light shows and the smoke and the lasers and all that. And I'm thinking, you know, am I in a nightclub or something? What does that have to do with worshiping God? Oh, we're trying to be like the world. Okay, you're going to get that one, Mark. Our fans tend to go wacko at times in that one. Consider how to stimulate one another to love. Think ahead of time. Plan ahead of time so that, like Larry, you have something planned to share. Consider how to stimulate. In other words, you're supposed to come to the worship service because you have something to give. A lot of times in our selfish mentality, people say, why should I go to church? What's in it for me? Let me turn the tables on that question. Why should you go to church? Because you have a ministry to give to them, to us. And if you're not here, you cannot consider how to stimulate me to love and good deeds. You can't do that from a distance. You can't do that in absentia. It requires your physical presence, but more than that, it requires that you have done some thoughtful preparation of your heart. Consider how to stimulate one another. That's a work that you come in order to do, not something you receive. Ideally, when you come, you will receive something too. You'll get blessed. But you should come not because of what you're going to get, but because of what you have prepared and that you are going to give. Consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking your own assembling together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another. As a pastor, when I stand here behind the pulpit and I look out and I see faces, I see bodies, that encourages me. Just your very presence here this morning encourages me and everyone else. So if your presence encourages us, what do you think your absence does? Your absence discourages us. And again, is that because of something you get, encouraging one another? Or is that because of something you give? Because of something you give. A lot of times people looking for a church, visiting churches, are asking all the wrong questions. They go to a church and they'll ask, what do you have to offer me? How can you benefit me? According to Hebrews 10, 24 and 25, that's the wrong question. The correct question should be, do you have a place for me to minister here? Do you have a place where I can serve here? What you can't do is either stimulate one another to love and good deeds or encourage one another from your bed because you slept in on Sunday morning rather than getting up and coming to church. If you ain't here, it ain't going to happen. Now, you can be here and it still not happen. But it's definitely not going to happen if you're not here. We have a local church. Part of the whole purpose of Rocky Southwest Bible Church Extension is to see other communities have this same kind of opportunity for service and ministry. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 3 with me. First Timothy chapter 3, start with me in verse 14. 1 Timothy 3:14, I'm going to start reading while you continue finding it. You catch up with me. I'm writing these things to you, hoping to come to you before long, but in case I am delayed, I write so that you will know how one ought to conduct himself in the household of God, which is the church of the living God. Now notice this next phrase. The pillar and support of the truth. The pillar and support of the truth. Pilate asked, what is truth? People have been asking that question ever since. I know where you go to find the answer. You ask the politician. No. Local churches in a community are the repository, the pillar and support of the truth. And beloved, if you haven't noticed, our society and our culture desperately needs somebody to stand up and say, this is the truth, you're wrong. Say that in love, to say that with grace, but to say that with firmness, because there is a standard. And what every man thinks is right for himself is not the standard. That's the way things were back in the book of Judges. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes, and he had chaos. That's what's happening today, and that's what we've got. Words don't even mean what they used to mean before. When I was growing up, everybody knew what marriage was. And everybody knew what bathroom to use. And now nobody's sure about anything. Because we've abandoned the standard that God gave us. And part of the reason why we've done that is because local churches aren't being the pillar and support of the truth that they're supposed to be. Local churches and communities, Revelation chapters 1, 2, and 3, Jesus described the local churches, those seven churches of Asia, as lamps. Lampstands. Giving light to their communities. That's what a local church provides, is the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ and the light of the truth of God's word. That's why local churches are so important. Because they are lighthouses in their community. They are the pillar and the support of the truth. And when there is not a local church in a community to represent and present that truth, anything goes. Anything goes. Communities need that worldview represented in the flesh. Furthermore, it's in local churches that the body of Christ worships God, uses their gifts, and edifies and encourages one another. Look at Ephesians chapter 4, just really quickly. We're not going to have time to look at all these verses, so I encourage you to write them down, or they'll be posted on the website, hopefully later this afternoon, if you want to get them. Ephesians 4:11, and he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service. Okay? Who's supposed to do the work of service according to verse 12? The pastor. That's what we pay him for. No. It's the pastor's job, the elder's job, the pastor-teacher's job to equip the saints. And the work of the ministry is to be done by those equipped saints, not by the pastor. How is that going to happen if nobody shows up? How is that going to happen if people decide, oh, I'm going to go to the mountains and worship God there today? Where's your pastor? Where's your opportunity to minister? What are you being trained for? Why should I be trained? I'm not going to serve anybody. Again, that's the attitude that too many people have. Turn to 1 Thessalonians 5. In verse 12, 1 Thessalonians 5:12, the Apostle Paul is giving instructions on what attitude people should have toward their leaders. So verse 11 and verse 14 are not written to the leaders, they are written to the other people. What does Paul command the members of the church to do? 1 Thessalonians 5:11, therefore encourage one another and build up one another just as you also are doing. Encourage one another and build up one another. How do you do that if you don't show up? You got me. Verse 14, we urge you, brethren, not elders, not pastors, brethren, we urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with everyone. Oh, that patient stuff, I don't want to have to be patient with anybody. I can't promise you that being part of a local church is always going to be fun. Sometimes it gets nitty and gritty. Because you're dealing with other people who are sinful just like you. But remember, other people are having to put up with you too. Encourage one another, build up one another, be patient with one another, admonish one another. That only happens in community, not in isolation. That only happens in community, not in isolation. It is in local churches that the ordinances of the church are ministered. We talked about in the Old Testament, they had lots of rules, and they had lots of holidays and lots of special observances. We have primarily two in the New Testament. We have baptism. And it's interesting, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul said, I didn't baptize very many people. And he gives the names of a couple people that he baptized, and he remembers somebody else. Evidently, Paul left the baptizing work to be done by the leadership of the local church. He didn't do it himself. Now, remember the Philippian jailer? There wasn't anybody else around. There was no church there, so he baptized the Philippian jailer in his household. But if there is an existing church, Paul didn't do the baptizing. Evidently, he left the leaders of that church to do the baptizing. And in the Lord's table. It's an ordinance of the church whereby, as we did this morning, we together collectively, it's called communion. The very word communion implies community. It implies togetherness. You can't have communion by yourself. The word doesn't allow that. Communion implies there must be other people. And the other people that you celebrate communion with, remembering Jesus with, are the people of the local fellowship. For he says in 1 Corinthians 10, since there is one loaf, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one loaf. I believe there's a sense in which God unites us together in a special way when we partake of the Lord's table together as a local independent. There's a unity and a communion that we have, not just vertically with Christ, but horizontally with one another. That gives us a special relationship with these people. Yeah, we're brothers and sisters with Christians all over the world, but this is my church home, and these are my people. These are our people. Local churches are important in our community and in every community. That's why Rocky Southwest Bible Church Extension wants to see churches in every community in our area. Our church needs and deserves our faithful, involved support. And as we have opportunity, we should help other communities establish and grow churches of their own. Maybe you weren't expecting such a strong plug for the local church when you came this morning, but God knew you were going to be here. And God knew what the message was going to be. And I don't think that was any accident. Let's bow together. Father, we come to you and just want to thank you so much for the wisdom, for the safety, for the protection, for the encouragement that there is in the plan that you have given us for believers to be involved in local churches. Thank you for this local church, Father. Thank you for each one who is a part of our church. We rejoice now as we prepare to witness Chuck and Izzy as they share their testimony and as they demonstrate their obedience to you in baptism. Thank you so much, Father. Thank you for each one who has been here, either as part of our church or here to support and encourage them. We're very grateful. We're very blessed, Father. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.